الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. Just as an introduction, while we're waiting, everyone is still coming. So there's one incident which I like to quote, because it very beautifully sums up our situation in life. There was one doctor in Pakistan, some of you might have heard it, who heard it, alhamdulillah, who didn't, at least we have a chance of hearing it today. There was one doctor in Pakistan, he was studying in a medical college, what we would understand today to be hikmah, which is more of traditional and eastern form of medicine. It was actually a Greek form of medication. So he was studying in this one college and he had a friend. His friend was Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Rahimahullah. So he narrated his incident to him. He said, while I was studying there, it was holidays, I went home. After holidays I came back. So my mother gave me one full container. A container full of halwa, one very special sweet meat which is made in Pakistan, which is full of sugar, nuts and ghee butter. These three combined makes a very tasty kind of halwa, a sweet dish, a confectionery. So he said, my mother gave me a whole container of it now when the term was beginning, and I brought it back to madrasa or back to the medical college, and I was very excited. And I said, for this whole term, I don't have to eat mess food. This whole term, I will be eating this tasty halwa as my breakfast. I'll mix it with milk and I'll have this lovely halwa and my milk every morning. So he brought it. His friends smelt it when he walked in. So they were excited. Everyone was excited. He put it in his locker. He locked the locker and he went out. His friends said, you saw what he brought? So they made mashwara, they decided we're breaking the locker. So they broke the locker. They took it, they distributed it. Everyone had a big piece. He came back later that evening. He didn't notice anything. The lock was back on his locker. The next morning he opened his container and he sees his expensive, tasty halwa all finished. Everything gone. He realized straight away there's a problem. So what he decided to do, he made an alternate plan. He went to a halwa shop which sells sweet meats nearby and he bought gulab jamun. So those who know what gulab jamun will understand. If you don't know, understand it to be something like a cook sister. So he bought a whole full tray of cook sisters, gulab jamun, and he brought it. And gulab jamun, one of the unique things, just like cook sisters, is it's full of syrup. It has all of these small little holes, like so to say, and it's full of syrup inside. So he went to the nearest halwa store and he bought a lot. And he brought it back. And he came in front of all of his friends, he's showing it off. He said, yeah, I know, yesterday you stole my things. I'll show you. Today I brought a brand new lock. No one is going to take this from me. And he put it inside the lock. But what his friends didn't know was before he brought it to the room, he's in medical college, he took a syringe. And he injected every single one of them with Jamal Gota. So Jamal Gota is a very heavy laxative. They say they use it for animals. If the animal's stomach has to run, this is the best thing to use. He injected everyone. So they said, when they saw him coming to the room, they said, oh, he's daring us. He thinks we won't break his locker. So that night they all got busy and they broke the lock. And they all shared this lovely gulab jamun or this these lovely cook sisters between them. Everyone enjoyed it. But the enjoyment was for how long? It's just a few seconds. Then one person's hand went to his stomach. Ah, I got a stomach ache. I need to get to the toilet. He ran. Second one said, my stomach is also paining. I need to go toilet. He ran. Now the room toilets are full. Now everyone in the room are looking for toilets elsewhere in the boarding. The whole boarding's toilets are full of students from one room. Every time he just gets back to the room, lies down on his bed, my stomach is paining again, he's back out. The school came to find out that there's a problem. It seems like there's an outbreak of a virus in the school. So all of these students were called and they were vaccinated also. Because you people, you're causing the sickness to spread. And this doctor said, I sat on my bed and I laughed. And I laughed and I laughed till I couldn't laugh anymore. I thought to myself, look at these fools. For the sake of a little enjoyment of syrup, look at what difficulty they put themselves in. So I got them back. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, he used to quote this incident and he used to say, just like that, when Iblis wants to fool us, then he gives us sin, but he ravage packs it so beautifully, so attractively. He sugar coats it with sugar. It looks so tasty and enjoyable. But in actual fact, it's just poison on the inside. What they thought was gulab jamun, they thought was cook sister. It was actually poison which they were entering in. Nobody says there's no pleasure in sin. There's no one in the world who will be able to say this. There is pleasure. But the pleasure is short-lived. And the suffering you have to go through as a result, that's not only lifelong, it's even after death. In dunya still, if someone is sick, you say, you know, when the day he passes away, at least he'll get raha. He'll now be safe, he'll be at peace from his sickness. But when shaitan puts us into sin, then even if we die, the problem hasn't come to an end. Actually, the problem has just started. Quran speaks about this. I recited these ayat of Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the beginning verses of this surah. And in 10 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those people who are really successful. They made it. They never just passed. They got the highest level of pass. And anyone who wants to take up a challenge, we think, you know what, I like challenges, here's the challenge. Quran is saying, here, take this challenge, you make sure you get the highest level pass. We want you to not enter Jannah, we want you in Jannatul Firdaus. And Allah only gives 7 criteria. So easy. Somebody asked Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, what was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She recited these ayat, she said, this is his akhlaq. When these ayat were revealed, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, most likely it was, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into the condition that he would go in when wahi would come down. And it sounded like there were bees buzzing around the blessed head, the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it wasn't, it was revelation. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's head was down and perspiration, drops of perspiration, beautiful and wonderful perspiration trickled down the blessed forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everyone was waiting in anticipation to see what is this revelation. And then when this revelation was complete, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lifted up his head. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, such ayat were revealed to me that that person who practices on it, that person will be an inheritor of Jannatul Firdaus. Something like this here comes in the narration. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited these ayat and 7 criteria, so simple. I wish we had the time to discuss all, but I just want to mention one, which comes right in the middle. Amazingly, this is the only one from these ayat, wherein Allah mentions positive as well as negative. Everywhere else, Allah just mentions people who do this, people who do this, people who do this. But one place Allah mentioned positive and negative. Those who do this, they don't do that. So what they do? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. One category of my servants, they ensure that they protect their private parts from sin. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. If they have desire in them, we have given them two halal outlets, their wives and their slave girls. فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. For this, they will not be reproached. The ulama say that Allah uses the word here, غَيْر مَلُوم, to tell us that this is not the object of your life. To gratify yourself sexually is not the object of your life. But if you have to do it as a necessity, no problem, fulfill it. And amazing Islam is that we were taught if you fulfill yourself in halal, Allah will reward you. One sahabi asked, he said, oh Rasulullah, one of us goes to our wives and will get reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had you put that same desire of yours in haram, wouldn't you have been sinful? You saved yourself from the sin, you turned it the opposite direction, you're going to get reward for it. For even pleasure, Allah has promised us reward, as long as it's where our Allah wants it. فَمَنِ بَتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. That person who searches for gratification, sexual gratification, anywhere else besides where Allah has allowed, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Those people have transgressed the limits of Allah. So here Allah mentioned what's permissible. And where a believer protects his chastity and private parts. At the same time, Allah also mentioned the opposite. That, O mu'min, don't ever fall amongst the transgressors. Make sure that your private parts are protected from sin. I want to, mashallah, before the Dhuhr Salam, when I spoke about pornography, which is really today the sickness of the age. But then pornography doesn't stop there. Then it continues after that. And it takes us down a very filthy path. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Don't even go close to adultery and fornication. It is a very immoral action. And it's an evil path to walk down. So what happens? A boy is growing up. As he grows, Allah protect every single person. The cell phone, the smartphone comes into his hand. My brother Ridwan sometime recently mentioned, he said, a lot of people are phoning in to say, they're having dreams. What dream they're having? That a person has a dream that he has in his right hand a snake. Some people are phoning to say, in both my hands I found snake. So everyone understands, snakes in a dream is a very bad thing. So he said, what the meaning of the dream is? And the person said, I'm lying down on my bed and I have these two snakes in my hand. He said, the meaning of the dream is what? One snake is one smartphone. And some people, when the contract expires, they get another one and they keep the phone. So now you have two snakes in your hand. And you thinking, it's that other person, he is my enemy, he doesn't like me, he's trying to make jadu. No one is trying to make jadu on us, we are our own jadu. That smartphone entered into our lives. So every person thought, no man, what am I going to do with my smartphone? With my smartphone, I'll play games. I'll watch cartoons. And none of these things are innocent, by the way, but that we don't have time to discuss now. I'll live a good life, but I need a phone. Somebody has to ask, what you need a phone for? He says, no, I need a phone. You'll ask him, can't you go and play ball somewhere? Can't you go and play marble somewhere? He says, no, I'm not interested in all of that. Now that era is over in my life. He doesn't stop playing marbles. It just changes. The form of it changes. So this person here says, I'm not interested. I want a phone. See, what you going to do with the phone? Say, just have fun. So can't you have fun without a phone? When the phone comes into your life, it brings television. It brings videos. It brings movies. It seems like everything is all right. It brings the internet. And then when the internet comes, then in my mind, deep down I know that there are some keywords. If I have to click them in, it may lead me somewhere. It may. I'm not going to ever type out anything wrong on my phone. No, never. I'm a good boy. But it may, maybe something will come up which is interesting. So I'll look for some keywords now. Some word which I know could have a double connotation. Maybe little good, maybe little bad. Now I'll start looking for it. Then over time I'll become used to the internet. Then one day I'll find one filthy video will come. One filthy picture will come. And straight away I'll say, hey, I'm not supposed to be looking at this. And I'll put my phone off. But it brought some desire, it brought some enjoyment. So I started. Then from there I'll continue. Now I'm a porn addict. Now I can't give up that porn. Now porn is my life day and night. But porn, like what I said earlier on, it's a drug. So you always need a greater kick. What you're going to need for that kick? Now you need masturbation. Istimna bilyan. You say, how am I going to ease the desire in my heart? When will I feel all right? You say, after I masturbate, then I'll feel good. So now slowly that boy who could never have imagined, he's growing up, he's the age of 11, 10, 11, 12. Maulana sent out the young children because he said they're too young. But I think actually the boys who are 9 already, they are well far ahead of, they know more than what we know of. So well clued up they are regarding everything which is happening. So that boy, as he grows older, his hormonal changes, he starts feeling blood rushing into one part of his body. Now he finds erection. He's wondering, what's all this going on? He sees one filthy movie. He sees a little few dirty pictures. And now he feels the feet he desires. I wonder how it will feel if I just have to touch like that. And if somebody doesn't know what masturbation is, no problem. I'm telling you what it is. It's this year that as you grow older, when you feel an erection, your private part becomes hard. You feel like playing with yourself, my dear friend, please don't do it. For Allah's sake, don't do it. You will destroy and ruin your entire future. At that time, there, that boy has the choice. Either I will start and then I'll have to become a recovering addict. Or I'll hold my hands back and I'll say, you know, I heard one Maulana one day saying, if I put my hand on my private part, I'm going to go into destruction. I want to just pass this message on to every friend of mine. Please don't take this route. Because this route doesn't come to an end there. This is the beginning of another whole life. And it's going to take you into so much sadness and misery. I brought here in front of me, I have karguzaris of 3 people. Whether I even get a chance to complete it or not, Allah knows best. But you listen yourself and understand. And this is not only boys. This is not confined to boys, even girls today. Women today, married people today, can't get out of the addiction which they found themselves in when they were growing up. Just because they were too shy to ask on the one side. And they didn't know any better on the other side. And Shaitan was there alone with them in their room. And today with the cell phone there, it just became so much worse. And so much more filthier and dirtier. Listen to what these people have to say regarding their own lives. One person wrote. He says, my friends, if you want success, don't ever masturbate. I discovered this fantasy at the age of puberty when I was 16. I am still doing it at the age of 27. If I had spent my precious time doing something more important, I would have been a successful person today. Now I am a pathetic loser. I don't have a life. I don't have friends. I don't have a job. I have nothing. All I have are the symptoms of my stupid little habit. What are the symptoms of it? Memory loss. Poor concentration. Fatigue all the time. Muscle cramp in legs and arms. My body has become short. My private part has become small. I can't sleep. My semen, my sperm leaks. I have pain in my testicles. Pain in my abdomen. My eyesight is poor. My vision is fuzzy. There are floaters in my eyes. I have back pain. I have shoulder pain. I have thin sperm. My hair is falling out. My bones have become weak. I don't feel like doing anything. I live in guilt and shame. I am living in regret and depression. I suffer from low self-esteem. I have poor confidence. These are only a few of the many harms which I am suffering from. The list is too long, but Western scientists and doctors carry on telling us the same rubbish, that it's fine to do this every now and again, it will keep you healthy, and you will learn the pleasure of sex. But trust me, I am a living experienced addict. I know what it's like to have the symptoms of over-masturbation and sexual exhaustion. They tell us it's harmless because they want to promote the use of pornography, which is a multi-billion business. Morana spoke about it before. Every day, hundreds and millions of videos are produced for fools like me who spend their money and waste their precious life for a few moments of pleasure. Trust me, my brothers who are reading this. I am living, but I am dead. I eat, sleep, and walk. That's it. I am incapable of doing anything. If you want to succeed, don't masturbate. This man is from Poland. He's not even a Muslim who's writing. Another man said, I remember my friends told me it's scientifically proven to be safe. I started at the age of 6. And this is not one case. There are just too many cases. And may Allah forgive and guide those parents who took a smartphone and put it into their child's hand, thinking that they were being kind to their children, whereas they had become their biggest enemy. They thought, I'm being a good parent because I'm giving in to the demands of my child. Rather than giving my child quality time, I gave him a messed up future. May Allah open their eyes and make them understand, because till now many of those parents haven't understood. They look at that innocent child and they say, my child, he will never do anything wrong. And behind the scenes, when that child's stories start coming out and his expires come out, then you understand that this parent was so naive. This parent, under his nose, the filthiest and dirtiest of crimes were being committed. May Allah grant us all understanding, but we bring our own destruction on ourselves sometimes. He said, I started at 6. At 13 only, I had my first ejaculation. Now I am 20. On average, I did it once a day, sometimes twice or thrice. These are my problems. Erectile dysfunction. I have no more erection. My erection, if it does come, lasts for 15 seconds. I sometimes jerk off using half of my palm, because it won't even stand during masturbation. My legs, hands, cheeks tremble, especially in a panic situation. This is a problem of many people. One of the biggest issues in masturbation is your whole nervous system breaks down. So you get nerves while you are still a young child. I have panic attacks. It's embarrassing. I can't study. I can't concentrate. I'm always tired. I tried stopping it in my teen years, but I didn't manage. I am suffering from mental diseases. Now I'm depressed. I can't study. I can't approach a woman. I can't talk to them. Forget relations. Even if I would have some success in stopping it, I am afraid that one day I could turn to rape. So I don't even try to stop it. This is Shaitan. When Shaitan tells you this, he says, don't stop it, because you know what? You might do something worse. Huh? That's Shaitan speaking to you, because he doesn't want you to stop. He said, I started showing strange feminine patterns. I have small breasts. Because of the patterns in my brain which have been affected due to the masturbation, my hormones are affected. My back, lower back is paining. My knee, my arms, my joints. I can't do anything. I have no confidence. I keep on failing. I am helpless and pathetic. Help me, please. An addict from India. Third person wrote, he said, My Muslim brothers and sisters, I started watching porn at the age of 12. My father's second wife introduced me to it. She showed me porn when I was 12. I used to smuggle it from her room and watch it alone in mine. For 5 years, my love of porn increased. I registered my name to a movie seller. He used to bring the latest porn in the market. At one go, I would buy 12 DVDs and I would watch this from morning to night non-stop. I started masturbating at the age of 18. I was already exposed to bad women. By 20, I had my first fling with a prostitute. I wasn't lucky. So I caught STD, a sexually transmitted disease, like how we have today HIV, AIDS, and whatever else. I was under isolation for a long time before recovery. I almost lost my private part. Even after recovery, I carried on porn. Then I experienced the following. I lost my eyesight. At the age of 22, I needed glasses. And my eyes would release milky liquid-like tears. I memorized more than half of Quran, but within no time I forgot everything. My memory decreased. I was bright and intelligent in class. Now I became stupid. At the age of 26 to 28, my mental health was affected. Because I was unintelligent like a baby, I couldn't understand simple instructions. By the age of 30, I got married. After marriage with my wife, I still watch porn and masturbate. Then I lost my manhood. My iman was lost. I didn't fear Allah. I missed salah. I loved violence and crime. Sin became normal. Then my wife left me. She said I'm mentally unstable. And she wasn't wrong. She was right. Because I used to hallucinate. This was the sign of the mental disorder which masturbation brought to me. I'm still addicted. I repented. Enough times I repented. But after a month or two, I returned back. He said, I'm sharing my story with you, oh my Muslim friends. I don't want you to live a life like me. I'm regretting every second of my life. And I'll never forgive that woman who introduced me to pornography. If you're already watching, stop. Because otherwise you'll never be able to reverse the damage. If you haven't started watching, don't try. It is more addictive than cocaine and heroin. The kick which it gives you, the dopamine rush which comes through your body, is far worse than that of a drug. He says, I quit smoking and drugs easily, but I still can't quit porn. If you are a Muslim and believe in Allah, please make dua for me, that Allah must change me into a better person and cleanse my soul. He said, I am crying while writing this. I hope you'll feel sorry for me and make dua for me. May Allah protect me, protect us, protect our offspring, protect the entire ummah from this disease. This is what Allah is telling us. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Oh my servant, don't go put yourself into this problem. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah quoted this ayah. And he said, from this ayah, فَمَنِ بَتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. Whoever looks beyond his wife and slave girl for sexual gratification, those people have transgressed Allah's commands. He said, this is the proof that masturbation is absolutely impossible. Had it been permissible, Allah would have given that as another root. That is not a root. Actually, the Sufis explain. They say that Shaitan fools us by telling us, you know, if you just let loose, if you just give yourself the chance, if you just masturbate and ejaculate, your desires will come down. So Allama Busiri rahimahullah was the author of Qasida Burda. He wrote two things in this Qasida. He said, فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا إِنَّ الطَّعَامَ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةَ النَّهِمِ. Don't ever think, if I give in to my desires, I'll break it. Because a person who is a glutton, who loves to eat, the more he eats, the more his stomach expands. The more he gets, we had one friend in madrasa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of him. One day he went to the kitchen, so he got a full plate of dal and rice, and he brought it to the room. Somebody else also got a full plate, but that person was too full to eat it. So this friend of ours ate one plate. That person said, I have some extra food here, you won't have. So he had some from that person also, that person's whole plate. A third person couldn't finish his food, so he joined him. And after he ate three full plates, then he lied down on the floor, and for the next half an hour he cried. Because his stomach couldn't take the amount of food that came in. A few days ago, I remember I was sharing with the students in madrasa. In the early years in South Africa, on Wednesdays, business people from different areas, they would go to Johannesburg. And in Johannesburg, they would go to buy their different goods. So there were certain restaurant owners who had a special on the day of Friday, on the day of Wednesday. On Wednesday, when all the Indian businessmen come, they'll make biryani for them. And he'll charge, at that time it was 1 pence. 1 pence for unlimited amount of plates. However much you want to eat, you can eat. So one man, he came. It was his Wednesday. He came to the shop. And he paid his 1 pence. At that time, 1 pence was a very big amount. And he had one plate, second plate, third plate, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th plate. The owner of the shop came to him. He said, please take your 1 pence back. Please don't set foot into my shop again in the future. I don't want you as a customer. You take your money and go from here. Some people eat so much. But still the desire is more and more in the stomach for food. Then Allama Busiri rahimahullah said, he said, your nafs is like a small little baby. In tuhmiluhu shabba ala hubbi rada, wa in tasqimuhu yanfatini. If you learn the art of taking the baby off milk, of weaning the baby off, then it will be a short period of time, it's difficult, and then the baby is gone, it's off the milk. And if you leave the baby to continue drinking every day, little, there have been reports of non-Muslims, up to the age of 8 and 9, the child is still not got off milk. Every time the mother wants to take the child off milk, the child cries. Now it's no more a child, 9 years old. Why you never trained yourself? Shaitan makes us think. Just give in now, later on, you will feel so good, you won't commit this sin again. That's not the solution. The example the ulama give, they say, this is like someone who's thirsty. And he goes and gets ocean water, salty water to drink. The more you drink salty water, the more thirsty you become. The more you let loose your desire like this through haram, the more your desire will increase. The only thing is that you will be deprived of so much other pleasure later on in life. See, the ulama explain, they say, that whatever pleasure, sexual pleasure a person is going to get in his life is written for him. Just like the food we're going to get in our lives is written for us as rizq, our pleasure is also written for us. You're only going to get that amount. Now you have an option to take it from halal or from haram. So there's a famous incident regarding the Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. One day he was going into the masjid, he saw one man. He said, look after my camel and the things on the camel. I'm just going into the masjid to perform some salah. He performed his surakat, he came out. That man left his camel. He stole the bridle and he stole the seat and he went away. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu came out of the masjid, he already had in his hands 2 dirhams. His intention was, the man did me a favor, let me give him 2 dirhams. But his bridle and the reins were gone. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, now whatever was on the camel's back is gone. He asked somebody, go to the market and go and buy this. I'm giving you here's 2 dirhams. So the man took the 2 dirhams, he came to a place where it was being sold. For how much? For 2 dirhams. Which one? The same seat, the same bridle, the same reins of Ali radiallahu anhu. That man brought it to the market. He sold it for 2 dirhams. He took his money and he went away. So when they told Ali radiallahu anhu about this, he said, so sad. The 2 dirhams were written for this person. He could take it in halal or he could take it in haram. He chose to take it in haram. All that happened, the same 2 dirhams went and bought it back for me. Had he waited here outside the masjid, I would have given it to him with honor. And it would have been absolutely halal for him. What is written for us is going to reach us. But it's up to us whether we want to take it in halal or haram. Now a person is going to get pleasure. He's going to get sexual pleasure in his marriage. Allah has written for you how much you're going to get. If you want to already use up whatever Allah has written before your marriage, then you'll wonder, why is it that people say marriage is so boring? And why people, youngsters, whoever you speak to, you say, get married. He says, I want to have fun first. Because he thinks fun is out of marriage. Hey, why can't you go and get married and have fun? Why are you thinking marriage is so bleak and so sad? Because for most people, the enjoyment of the marriage was used up already. What was written in your rizq, you already used. Now when your wife came, you're only getting a small amount. You're wondering, why I'm not having fun in marriage? Or why this girl is such a big problem? She is not attractive enough. She doesn't dress up nice enough. Murana spoke about this before Zohar. I'm just repeating this. But unfortunately, what happens as a result of porn, and what happens as a result of masturbation, is that our brains are rewired. And it's made to think contrary to reality. What we start seeing to be fun is actually not fun at all. So through masturbation, a person learns what he learns. He learns, I want instant gratification. Because in masturbation, there's no point in any person waiting. There's no point in foreplay. There's no point in having enjoyment before. You just want to get rid of the desire which is within you. So you learn it must happen fast and quick. Now a person gets married and he is expected there must be foreplay. There must be afterplay. He must enjoy in marriage. He can't. He already, his brain has been wired upside down. The same married man doesn't know how to enjoy in his marriage because he already messed up his. Now, he's going, my one friend visited a urologist yesterday. He thought he'll be only seeing old people. When he came there, he saw majority were young people. So another friend asked him, he said, "What? Why were young people by a urologist? People go when they are old, they're having some problem with their private parts, they go urologist." He said, "Because all of these people are probably suffering from erectile dysfunction. All of them came for some treatment. All of them are having problems in their marriages. It's a norm. Why? Because everyone went through this filthy, dirty route of pornography and masturbation." In this year now, I'll end on this inshallah, that what can we do if we are involved in this evil and dirty sins? So number one, remember it's evil and dirty. So make tawbah to Allah. And there's no limit to how much tawbah you can make. One of shaitan's tricks, he'll tell us one day you will make a decision and you're going to stop. Don't make tawbah now. That day will come. When it happens, then you'll see. You'll become pious. The day you finish your Dora Hadith, you'll see. The day you get married, that day you'll see. The day, you know, you spend 4 months in Jamaat, that day after that your life will come right. Up till then, you can still fall. Don't make tawbah now. Islam taught us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْمُفَتَّنَ التَّوَّابَ. Allah loves that servant of His who's a believer, who falls and makes tawbah over and over and over again. So number one, there's no room in Islam for despondency. There is only room for tawbah. Allah has given you a chance. You made the mistake. You are involved. You have a problem. You are addicted. Make tawbah. And make tawbah again. And make tawbah again. Why don't let it happen that if the angel of death has to come to meet you, and you are in a condition that you in janaba because of haram. Rather it be that if the angel of death has to meet you, you made tawbah and you already patched your matter with Allah. Don't let 1 second go. Actually, even if you in the sin, cry in front of Allah and begin to take you out. Allah wants to see that there's some desire in myself. Because we can't do it. And with the cell phone in our pockets, that is become even more impossible. Today, the only hope of salvation is, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith. O Allah, the ever-living and the controller of all of the affairs of the heavens and the earth. Only Your mercy do I plead for. Without Allah's mercy, we can't come out. So beg Allah for forgiveness and keep on making tawbah. This is one thing. Second thing is that now start making resolutions in my life. I have to decide one day I'm going to give it up. Am I going to wait for so long till it messes my whole life and body and everything up? Or am I going to make a decision now, today, this is the last? Allah has put himmat and courage in us. All we need to do is to use it. Don't be a coward. Don't be a fox. Be a lion of Allah. Stand up and say, I can do it and I'll show shaitan. I won't let him make me eat that poison and suffer the consequences. I will be the wise one. I won't take the poison in. He mustn't laugh at me. I must laugh at him. Allah has given me and you that courage. We have that determination. We have that strength. Allah put it in us. That's why Allah made us believers. Otherwise, why would all these people be sitting here? Today, lunchtime, I was speaking to someone. He said, things are so bad. I said, I don't disagree. Things are bad. But look at this jamaat of one group of people. Students from madrasas. Young boys on a Saturday afternoon listening to my old grandfather's stories here just because they love Allah. That's what brought them here. Didn't Allah put that spark of His love in your heart? That's why you came. That's why, because Allah knew that this is potential of tawbah. This is potential of my friendship. Every 1 year is special. We have the ability. We can become from the great awliya of the era. But we have to take up courage ourselves. Malik bin Dinar rahimahullah said, I read this quotation this morning, I was very amazed. He said, in Jannah, between Jannatul Na'im and Jannatul Firdaus, there is a between Jannatul Adn and Jannatul Firdaus, there is a section called Jannatul Na'im, the garden of delight of all pleasure. He said, Allah has kept this place for certain special servants of His. In this area, the women, the maidens, al-hurul ain, they are produced from the roses of this area. And he said, who Allah has kept this area, Jannatul Na'im, for? He said, it is for those people who were tempted to commit the sin. And just when they were about to go into the action, they remembered Allah. And out of Allah's fear, they lowered their heads. They bowed their necks. They said, Allah, I can't disobey you. They jumped out of a sin at the last moment. They become the most beloved people to Allah. Bakr bin Abdullah al-Muzani rahimahullah said he was on Bucha. He was in love with his neighbor's daughter. One day she was going out for some work, he followed behind. When he came close by, he told her, you know, I'm madly in love with you. I was waiting for an opportunity just to meet you. She said, you know, I love you more than you love me. I am more passionate about you than you are of me. But I fear Allah, I can't do this. He said, what? A lady fears Allah and I don't. So he turned around from there and he cried and he started going in another direction. He got lost. He met one Nabi of Allah in the middle of the desert. And the Nabi said to him, what's the matter with you? I see your mouth is parched. He said, I need water. I am so thirsty. The Nabi of Allah said, let's make dua. Allah will send from the heavens. So he said, I have no good actions through which I can make dua. So the Nabi said, okay, no problem. I'll make dua. You say Ameen. So the Nabi made dua. And a cloud came over them which gave them shade and rained down some water for them to drink. Then they proceeded. When they came close to the city, they had to part ways. The cloud followed this man, not the Nabi. The Nabi said, you're lying. You told me you had no good action. The cloud is following you, not following me. So the man said, really, I have no good action. But what happened today, this is what happened. When the Nabi heard this, the Nabi of that era, he said that the truth of the matter is that the closeness a person who has repented, the closeness that he finds with Allah, nobody else finds that closeness. Make tawbah and use that himmat, that courage. Even if you are right at the step of sin, turn around and give it up. And Allah will honor you in your life. Allah will honor you in your qabr. Allah will make you from those people, الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسُ. Allah spoke about in those ayahs. That those who protect their private parts, they will inherit Jannatul Firdaws. That will be for them for the taking, as if it will be, it's not that they've become deserving of it, but it's their right that they must get Jannatul Firdaws. Allah will give it to them. So number one, himmat, courage. Number two, tawbah. Number three, beg Allah for protection. Keep on asking Allah. Even while you're in the sun, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Oh Allah, I seek your protection. I know it's shaitan. I know what I'm doing is wrong. And fourthly, don't be alone. Don't allow yourself the chance to do it. Don't make it such that I'm just sitting idle-minded because you're going to fall in sin. And the last thing is this, and although everyone feels it very hard to say, but the truth of the matter is this is the solution. And that is that get rid of that smartphone. The smartphone is what brought you to the problem where you are right now. How can you keep that smartphone with you and continue and come out of the problem? You're living in a fool's paradise. The day you need it, when you get married, you have a wife to check on you, and you people should have their wives checking on you. And the day she can put some sensors on your phone to make sure you don't go into wrong sites. And the day you can have an internet which is in front of your whole house and your every move is censored, then by all means try, you can take a chance. Until the day you're not married, you don't have a wife sitting on top of your head, I'm giving you sincere advice, the person who will take it will benefit from it. The person who doesn't take it or who thinks I'm speaking nonsense, may Allah forgive you and have mercy on you. But if you want to come out of the problem, the only solution is you can't have a snake with you in the bed and not expect it to bite. It's going to bite sooner or later. The day it bites, that's the end of it. Then, all your efforts till then are gone down the drain. Then you're going to start up again. If you can, the asbab of guna, the smartphone, get it out of your life. And the one who never bought it yet, my young boy, please don't ask your father to get it for you. Because it is the road into Jahannam. There's no other way. As if to say that Shaitan and Dajjal, they managed to find one way in which they could collect every kind of sin and they put it in our pockets. So bad it's become, Anustad every time tells me, he says it's like my third limb on my body. Like I have two arms, I need the cell phone also. Stay without a cell phone for as long as you can. The day you need a cell phone, get that simple old broken kind Nokia cell phone that you can only make a call and can hardly even send a message. You save yourself from great amount of evil. Allah bless me with tawfiq. Allah bless us all with tawfiq. I'll end on this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire me through it, inspire us all. Ibn al-Jawzi has mentioned an incident. There was one youngster, he was in Iraq, and he wanted to go for Hajj. So on his way, he joined some friends. When they used to be eating in the day, he used to be fasting. When they used to be sleeping at night, he used to be awake in Salah. So what we'll say? Call him Khushki. Say, what's wrong with you guys? We want to enjoy, and every time you just Khushk. So they traveled the whole way, and on the way back, when they were about to depart, the friend asked his friend, he said, why you carry on like this? Who are you trying to show? What's your problem? You spoiled our whole trip just acting so khushk, so dry. So his friend said, you know, one day I saw a dream. In my dream I saw a palace. It was the most beautiful palace I ever saw. One brick of gold, one brick of silver. On top of this palace I saw a balcony. Actually two balconies. One made of a red ruby and one of green crystal. He said, then I looked at this balcony and I saw the most gorgeous girl I had ever seen in my life. And she was standing there with her hair fluttering in the wind. And she was wearing a silver outfit. When she moved, I could see her whole body moving under her outfit. Then he said, she looked at me and she said, if you want me, then obey Allah and please Him. Then Allah will write me for you. He said, after I saw her, I wasn't interested in anyone else. Now, I only want that one. He said, for my rest of my life, I'm going to make an effort to please Allah. If we want Allah, and we want Jannah, and we want the most beautiful woman in Jannah, then the only road is to crush our desires here. Because really, whatever we're looking at on a screen, they're not smart. They're not nice. They're not even beautiful. It's just a screen and it's just some makeup. The reality of the matter is, Allah has not put that beauty what we were looking for, it's not there in them. That beauty Allah has kept for us in Jannah. Learn to crush your desires. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Allah grant me tawfiq. Allah bless us all with tawfiq.